This is Real People in the Psychotherapist's Chair with Jerry Pives on RCR.
Hi there. Welcome to Real People in the Psychotherapist's Chair. And my name is Jerry Pives. In this session, I want to talk a little bit about a really important RCR 360 program that I hope you've watched. And if you haven't, you really should. It's the program called Orwell's Nightmare, and you'll find it on the website. In this program, Alistair and Marie looked at they talked to two very important people. First was Dr. Robert Epstein, and the second was David Charalambos. And both of them had really important things to say. Okay, so they are great programs, and you can't fault them for the honesty and the bravery they have in covering these really unsettling issues. And, you know, what struck me as I watched it was how unsettled I felt. And it made me think a lot about how hard it is sometimes to look at the harsh reality of what is going on around us and what is happening. You know, it's like that in relationships, isn't it? You know, sometimes there's something going wrong and it's really uncomfortable to deal with it, you know? So we're not wired to deal with distress and frightening things. And one of the things that came up was, I think, what was it? She said, "It scared the bejabers out of me." And Alistair said that he found this really shocking and scary. And Dr. Robert Epstein, who's like, you know, a top guy, professor, been working with analyzing the psychological behavioral techniques used, he actually says in this documentary, he said, you know, if you, whatever you, however creepy you think it is, it's creepier. And it made me think that even when we look at these programs and we understand and we need to understand what's going on, we're also getting activated. And by activated, I mean we are getting stimulated into a state of fight or flight or sometimes shut down. The nervous system can't really help itself. When it begins to feel overwhelmed, then it goes into these places. And so what I wanted to talk about today and reflect a little upon was, how do we maintain ourselves? David Charalambos has some great things about how we, you know, how we can think about and operate with people. But I tend to go a little bit deeper. And I think that something that was missed in the program was really, you know, what's underneath it. I think at some point in the program, Alistair said, you know, asked the $64,000 question as to why is this going on? Why are people trying to manipulate us? Why are we not living in a world where we could just be ourselves and not have some form of psychological warfare being operated on? I mean, the program clearly shows that it's not a conspiracy theory that we are being manipulated by literally thousands of psychologists who should know better, working for governments and working for organizations to control our behavior. Well, some of us have a deep spiritual belief that this world was created for our freedom, that it was created to be amazing for us. And some of us have a variety of different ways of looking at what happens. But I'm going to share a little bit about my background and how I see this. Because the first thing I was, when I was growing up, the first thing I became interested in, actually, it wasn't psychotherapy or healing or body work and touch. The first thing was history. And then my first job was actually teaching history. So you could say that history really matters to me. And when you read history, and I think we all do that, some of us, you know, come across stuff and we see patterns emerging. Well, in the world of history, looking at the history sort of side of things, when we ask ourselves, why is this happening? Perhaps the most and even more important question is, how long has this been happening? And I think what really matters here is it's possible to look back all the way back to the Egyptians and the pharaohs to see the attempt to control through slavery or to manipulate through propaganda. And these are the, and also we've seen how groups and elements of populations have sought to corrupt and take financial gain by manipulating people. Of course, this is captured in the most beautiful, well, one of the most beautiful fairy tales of them all, the story of the Emperor's Got No Clothing. And what you had in that story is two outsiders coming in with a very smart plan. They said, look, they can make viruses. Sorry, I don't mean viruses. I mean, they can make clothing that nobody can see. It would probably work for viruses, wouldn't it? And they made everyone believe that only the really clever people could understand and see this great thing, and they should trust their great knowledge, you know? So here are these invisible clothes. And they manipulated everyone's mind, because what did they manipulate with them? Well, fear of being found out to be stupid, actually. All the courtiers didn't want to admit that they weren't clever enough to see these invisible clothing in the story. So, you know, the emperor's walking around naked in, you know, these invisible clothes that don't actually exist. And everybody's saying what wonderful clothing there is. And this is a particular psychological operation based on shaming people. We feel ashamed if we admit or are seen to be stupid. So they're working on some very powerful stuff with that story. And when we're looking at the psychological operation that is going on right now, not the conspiracy theory, but the operation, we have to ask ourselves, well, why? And we have to ask ourselves, when? Well, the when goes back a very long time, as I'm saying. I think we can think about that as kind of always been there. There have always been humans manipulating others, behaving badly. And, you know, we can go around and pretend that humans are beautiful, wonderful beings as long as you like, but there is a kind of in-your-face reality that actually we humans have this horrible and terrible capacity for doing bad things. In the Christian Bible, we call it sin. That's an unpalatable term these days, but actually, you know what? It certainly describes an awful lot of what we're seeing these days. Which brings us rather nicely onto the why. The when has been going on since, well, you know, forever. And the why is something innate in human nature, that there is a kind of a warfare going on. And we can't really even call this a psychological war. We have to be calling it a spiritual war. It's a war against what makes us human. If we take that what makes us human is our goodness, then we have to say that there's a dark force that says this humanity, this creation, this amazing creation that is capable of good and bad things and can choose the goodness, that there's a war to persuade us towards the badness. And that's at a spiritual level. Again, within Christianity, we have some very clear ways of describing this, and to my mind, incredibly accurate, which is there are satanic forces. And again, this isn't some kind of conspiracy theory, because with the globalization of access to information and filming and revelations of things, we are seeing that many of the leaders of governments are involved in satanic cults. Again, this is not a satanic theory. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's actually evidence that we some of them are saying it themselves. I can't go into all of that. But the why is because there's a war for the heart and soul of humanity. And that was written about in the Bible right from Genesis. And that you know, the idea of this beautiful place and the opportunity to, as it were, live in harmony. And, of course, the deceit of trying to, as it were, become greater than our creator, than God. So there's a bunch of people out there who think they are either gods or greater than gods. They have an incredible hubris, and they are as mad as hatters, in my opinion, but they're also very, very clever. And then there's the rest of us who are just trying to live good lives. And so we need to understand the context of this. It's a war for humanity. Now, one of the things that my work has been about, both as a body worker and as a psychotherapist, has always been about reclaiming and reconnecting with what makes us human. And so I wanted to say that, you know, right at the depth and underneath the 360 program, Orwell's Nightmare, was an unaddressed issue, I think, which was the spiritual issue, what we're actually dealing with, and also how we, as it were, deal with reclaiming our humanity. And I want to tell you a simple story about this, because often I find myself running training courses for body workers or psychotherapists. And back in the UK, when I was doing a lot of that, one of the things that happened was that we found that whenever there was a really powerful, kind of beautiful healing environment developing, there would also have to be some students or members, participants, who would have to almost take the shadow for the rest of us to do our thing. That as we were getting, you know, really uplifted by our interactions and the work and the healing stuff that we were learning and doing, there would sometimes be a group, not all the time, but sometimes there'd be a small group that would somehow seem to collect, if you like, the dark energy. And I worked with a team of trainers supporting me, and they used to come up and talk in the breakdowns. Oh, the hell. They were being driven mad by this small group of rather negative and destructive people. And in the end, I just said, well, look, all you can do is kind of kill them with love. I don't mean to kill them, but to take on what you are and not to take on what they are, and just keep returning whatever they're presenting, just as it were, allowing it not to stick, but just return with what you are. And what we're doing here, and what we're doing here, is to create an environment of healing, an environment of safety, if you like, an environment of love. Because this is the one thing that all these people who seem to be in a spiritual war against God, what they don't understand is love. It seems to me that they've replaced that desire for love with greed and power and ego. And because love doesn't have greed or power or ego attached to it. So when we seek to manage ourselves with the distress, and of course, these people, they work with fear. That came out very clearly and very well presented by Alistair and Marie, the level of fear-mongering, and they want to stimulate us into fear, because when we get to fear, we're no longer able to think. We're in an emotional state. We're not in a clear thinking state. And it is in that clear thinking state that we can retain and reclaim our truth, our humanity, our love, our integrity. So I wanted to talk really about what that means and how we deal with people that are, as it were, aggravating us into fear, into manipulation, or even into argument and fighting. And what I'm suggesting is that we need to know who we are, and we need to know why we are. And if we hold on to the simple truth that we're here to love and to love one another, then whenever we're confronted with hateful or behavior that is negative or destructive, all we really need to do is to return and up the volume on who we are. As it were, we need to refill our boots. I believe that everyone, every one of you listening to me right now, wishes to live from a place of love. Certainly that's what I want to do. I don't do it all the time. I'm pretty sure you don't either. But we need to keep coming back into that place. So what is it that enables us to return and, if you like, fill our boots with who we are and our choices? I'm pointing to my kind of front of brain, which is the prefrontal cortex, which is where we do our thinking, not our reactive thinking from the emotional state. And so whenever we're getting into this distress of fear or emotion or argument, it's about pulling back and it's about reminding ourselves of who we are. And a great deal, many, many of my programs are all about, how do we do this? How do we do this? There's kind of 100 ways, but there's also 100 ways that don't work for each of us, that we're all different. So this program is all about how we do this. And I want to suggest that one of the ways we do this is the more negative or fearful energy comes at us from outside, I want to suggest that the more we're being invited to find our true love nature, our truth, our lovingness. So the harder things are coming, the more overwhelmed we might be feeling. Step back and ask yourself, am I being invited to deepen and strengthen my ability to operate from love? This is easy to say and very, very hard to do. And I think sometimes it involves taking literally a step away from the screens, a step away from the exploration of what's really going on, almost a withdrawal. And in that withdrawal, you go out and you be with nature for a moment, or you just sit and you just imagine yourself in a beautiful place. I pretty much grew up in a cathedral from about the age of 7 to 14, whilst my family life was going to shit. Every day I spent time, I was a chorister in a cathedral singing in a choir, and that was morning, evening and night and weekends and everything. It was a job at the age of 7. So one of the resources that I use when I want to withdraw is I actually put on some cathedral organ music, and it just brings me back to my kind of safe, happy place, a place of great artistic creativity, a place of great beauty, living in a building that pretty much, yeah, it's just unbelievable, these cathedrals. And so for me and my own history, I'm not saying this is your solution, but I'm just sharing with you what I do. I have to withdraw. And if I can't get out in nature, I just put on these beautiful earphones and tune in to some beautiful cathedral organ music. Actually, I can find Hereford Cathedral organ music. Hereford was the choir that I was in, and Hereford Cathedral was the cathedral that I spent a great deal of my life in when I was very young. Half of my life was spent, by the age of 14, half of my life had been spent there, and it was a stability and a soothing and a calming for me. It was also a great place to be with people. So find out what it is for you that enables you to withdraw and recharge and reconnect with who you are. And I would suggest that devices must have nothing to do with it, although I do use my phone to play the music, but I put it to one side and I close my eyes and I let myself drop back into that place. So what am I really talking about? I'm talking about these wonderful programs we're getting from the hard work of the whole RCR team, giving us the truth and the reality check of what's going on. But at the same time, I'm here to show you ways in which you can manage that, because actually what we're having to deal with is some of the most horrific information ever been revealed in human history. And that's a plus. As Alistair said, this stuff is all coming out now. We're seeing it. But the downside is we're getting exposed to it in a very short period of time. And what we're being exposed to is the dark side. It's satanic. There's no question about it. And once you know that your job is to reconnect with love, with truth, and with light, and find whatever way you can to do that. So I'm Jerry Pives. This is Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair, and thank you for spending time with me and sharing this really important stuff. I can't do it without you. And I hope that what I contribute helps you just a little bit. God bless.